The following is an encore presentation of Sam Nation.
Hello, friends. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. It's Tuesday night, and here we are. Safe and sound. Phone number, as you know, if you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-222-5222. And if you can hear my voice, I'm coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain. So, do you ever wonder where this entire Trump-Russia thing is headed, right? I mean, we cannot stop hearing about it. Trump, Russia, collusion, conspiracy between the Trump campaign, alleged conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And so I for a long time I've always thought that this was a sort of a fiction created to help explain a crushing defeat. And what better way to explain how Hillary Clinton, the anointed Hillary Clinton, how she could possibly lose to an orange buffoon? Well, the best way to do it is to say, well, of course, there was outside manipulation, there was collusion, and this really the election didn't happen the way it should have. But I always thought it was really just a way to explain a defeat. Well, no, there is and there has been a development. And I well, no, this is being reported in Newsweek. Does that make it more credible? Yeah, I mean, it makes it more credible as a representation of what the left actually thinks. Because Newsweek published a piece today that put forward a 5-step plan of how Hillary Clinton could actually become president in the place of one Donald Trump. No, they're serious about this. There's a Harvard University professor that they've latched onto named Lawrence Lessig, and they're describing him as a constitutional law expert. Now, I will tell you first what the 5 steps are, because I think you might be curious, right? Sam, is this possible? Is this within the realm of possibility? Stay tuned. I will explain my thoughts on it. But let me first give you the 5 steps, because you've got to understand how this is going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. They're laying it out. Number one, step one. Trump is definitively going to be found to have colluded directly with Russia, and he'll be forced to resign or be impeached. So that's step one. And see, it comes back again to Trump-Russia, right? They are so keen on this. So he's going to resign or be impeached, right? And by the way, isn't that funny? Can you picture Trump resigning? Yeah. Number two, step two. If Trump is removed, Vice President Mike Pence would become president. Okay, so that's step two. Pence, right? I mean, this professor here is a con law expert. I think this is, you can find this on Wikipedia. It's called The Order of Succession. So Trump's removed, Pence goes in. Step three, Pence becomes president. He should resign to, this is from Newsweek. He should resign too, given that he benefited from the same help from Mother Russia. No, this is real. Okay, step four. I don't want to leave you hanging. If Pence resigns before appointing a vice president, Ryan, this is referring to Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, Ryan would become president. Step five, the final step. Are you ready for it? This is how it all happens. If Ryan becomes president, then he, Ryan, should do the right thing and choose Clinton for vice president, and then he should resign. And that's their plan. This is Julie Glum writing for Newsweek. And the first thing I asked when this beautiful piece of journalistic wonderment came across my desk, the first thing I asked is, I looked and is it from the opinion section, right? Is this an opinion piece written by some outside columnist? No, this is a staff writer. This is Newsweek. This is why they don't have a magazine anymore. They've moved to only online content. You can't, that's right, you can't even use it for the gerbils anymore. But this is the kind of fantasy that the Democrats are engaging in. They are so, you know what five-step program here I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the five stages of grief. And the first step being denial. They're thinking about steps 1 through 5. They're still in total denial. They think this is pure, unadulterated fantasy. And underlying it, I think the result of this is that you have a sizable portion of people out there who are not happy with Trump. They're not happy with the Trump presidency, and they're taking their, how would I describe it? They're taking their hopes, okay, that everybody that they have to get rid of Trump someday and get rid of him, da 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 da, and they're turning they're people that actually think, right, that their resistance is valid. And I wonder how many of these people are inside of the government. I wonder how many of these people are the unnamed administrative full-time deep state staff that we hear about that are obstructing Trump's agenda because they wholeheartedly believe that Trump's going to be out of there, that he is so deep into you know, colluding with Putin, this is a matter of time before Mueller and his team strips and peels away this and gets to the heart of the scandal. Meanwhile, there's absolutely nothing there. The update, if you want the update, are you ready for it? There may or may not have been $100,000 spent by Russia on Facebook ads. You think that's a lot of money? Do you know how? Would you know what a modern presidential campaign costs? It's about $1 billion. Now, Trump spent a lot less. Okay, he did because he went out there and created his own media. Every time he opened his mouth and said anything outrageous, 35 cameras from every network showed up and covered it. That was Trump's secret. But generally speaking, about $1 billion. What is $100,000 worth of Facebook ads? It is literally passing gas in a stiff wind. It's nothing. I'll tell you, even in my business, in a world of advertising, in my business, $100,000 doesn't go very far to promote a single business. It's nothing. It's literally nothing. And this is what the team is doing and peeling back all these layers. Meanwhile, did you hear, and this fits into this, and it's important, because it came out very quietly. The major networks, at least CNN and MSNBC, are not covering it for obvious reasons. But TheHill.com today reported that the FBI actually uncovered and was investigating for about a 5-year period alleged Russian bribery of top Obama administration officials in order to get the uranium deal done. Do you remember this? This is the uranium deal that was in Peter Schweizer's book, The Clinton Cash Book, and it dealt with a company called Uranium One. Let me just quickly, just so you remember what this was all about. Remember, I just said the big smoking gun here is $100,000 spent by Russia on some Facebook ads. Wait till you hear these figures, okay? It's a lot more than $100,000. There was a company, it was Uranium One, it was Canadian owned, it belonged to a big billionaire out there, Frank Gistra, I think was his name. And this company, the Clintons helped him, Bill and Hillary Clinton helped him get a big deal of mining uranium in Kazakhstan, which is a former, Soviet satellite republic near Russia, and the U.S. So they helped this company get big, okay? They got a bunch of new mining contracts, and as soon as they got those contracts, this guy, this billionaire, and the board of the company went to sell itself. They wanted to sell the company to Russia, and it required whenever uranium's a big deal. It's used in nuclear weapons, so whenever you're selling something that is of strategic importance to the country, you've got to get approval from the government. Now, I'm going to ask you, where do you think that approval has to come from? Specifically, it comes from the State Department. Now, who during all relevant periods was the Secretary of State? That's right, Hillary Clinton. So listen to this. At and around the time that they were doing this deal, that they wanted, that they applied, and in fact, I think it was just weeks before they applied for permission, there were 9 shareholders, and all this has been proven, 9 shareholders that paid, are you ready for this amount? $145 million to the Clinton Foundation. And then lo and behold, I don't want to spoil anything here, but lo and behold, the deal gets approved. Surprise, surprise. Now, the truly stunning thing here is that no one said boo about it. And the FBI and the Department of Justice under Obama swept this thing under the rug big time. You want to talk about collusion? You want to talk about bribery? And the FBI was investigating this actively. They had it. They had the guy. They charged a Russian guy. They ended up sending him to prison for some money laundering charges. But the Hill.com, they go through it step by step. And they found that nuclear Russian officials, Russian nuclear officials had routed literally millions of dollars to various people inside the U.S. government. And the FBI had it. So the $1 million question is, or I would say the $145 million question is, why did nothing come of it? Why didn't it go anywhere? And the answer is so simple. The government, the establishment will always look after itself. And as this thing began heating up closer to the election, you've got to realize what the calculus was. The calculus was the real fear that any kind of scandal that touches the Clintons means a problem for the candidate. And the candidate, Hillary, wasn't just the Democratic Party candidate versus a Republican candidate. Hillary was an establishment candidate versus an upstart, versus a revolutionary, versus someone who promised, who ran a campaign from the get-go, that promised a wrecking ball to everything that Washington holds dear. So every person that is on this thing, from Loretta Lynch to the FBI, to the Department of Justice, everybody that is on this, what's their enormous fear? I don't think they would mind a George Bush candidate. I don't think they'd even mind a Mitt Romney candidate running on the other side. Although arguably, of course, we know that Loretta Lynch, there were a number of things that she kind of swept under the rug when she was in the DOJ. But what did they want? They didn't. This, it's so transparent and so obvious. They did. If anything bad came out about Hillary, who would it affect? Her, of course. And it would tip the scales potentially toward Trump. And it was an avoid this at all costs. You saw the news story, by the way. This was just reported over the weekend. I didn't get to it yesterday. But you know that Comey, this came out. Newsweek reported this. Newsweek, of all people. They reported Comey drafted a statement ending the email investigation into Hillary's server before he even interviewed Hillary Clinton. Think about that. Can you imagine? By the way, just imagine you commit a very simple crime. Let's just say it's a serious crime, but a run-of-the-mill crime. You rob a bank. Let's say that. And now imagine that the police end their investigation into you and into the, you know, alleged crime that you've committed, and they, before even interviewing you, before even talking to you. It's literally inconceivable. It flies in the face of any good practices in law enforcement, let alone a serious investigation such as this one. And it's obvious it was a total racket. While you and I were watching the news and going, boy, I really hope Comey goes after this. I really, really hope that Comey just comes out. Remember what everybody told us, by the way? Comey, he's a Boy Scout. Comey, he's a straight shooter. He is going to call it like he sees it. That was the line. That was what we were being told. And we, everybody, ate it up. Again, and I will add this bit of flavor to this. This entire investigation into the $145 million bribe, there's no other way of putting it. Right? Clinton Foundation gets $145 million and presto, this big deal that they're pushing gets approved. You know who opened that investigation and managed it for a number of years? Bob Mueller, who is now the head of the Trump-Russia investigation, who's a special counsel investigating Trump's $100K, supposedly, that Russia paid to influence our election. What a joke. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KVC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KVC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KVC. Now, I think that many of you get a little lost in the world of large numbers. And it's understandable. So we're talking about this staggering sum of $145 million given to the Clinton Crime Family Foundation by nine directors and shareholders of a company that wished to sell itself to Russia. And then presto, the deal was approved by Hillary Clinton's State Department. Now, this is old news. I recognize that. What's new news is we now find out that there was an open investigation into this deal by the FBI. And nothing happened. Zip. And I was comparing it to other news this week, a big revelation in the Trump-Russia scandal. Apparently, $100,000 was paid by some Russian spies to take out ads on Facebook to help sway the election. And I know these are, look, $100,000 is big money. $145 million is bigger money. I want you to understand something, though, very important about fundraising. I have a few charities that I really particularly care about. One being the March of Dimes. I will tell you about something about charity. It is extremely difficult to raise money, even for a worthy cause like prenatal care and premature children. Very, very difficult. People don't just drop $145 million payments. I don't care if it's among nine people. I mean, in the world of charity, it's unprecedented because that's the argument here, right? The Clintons are arguing we're running a very successful charity and we're helping Haiti and blah, blah, blah. And this has nothing to do with anything else. This is a separate transaction that in no way influenced us. And I'm running it against my own life experience, which is, but these are inconceivable sums. They're not inconceivable, but they are enormous sums in the world of of fundraising, of charity fundraising, if we're going to call the Clinton Family Foundation a charity. I'll give you an example. My law school, Chapman, received a almost $70 million gift, an endowment gift, and that is the biggest that I mean, it's the second, I think at the time it was made, it was the second biggest gift made to any law school. I'm giving that to you as a detail for scale. I think maybe, was it Harvard? Harvard get a bigger one? I forget. But one of the big top 10 schools got a bigger gift. People do not drop $145 million out of the sky to help Haiti. It wasn't about that. It was an influence campaign. It's graft. It's bribery. It was always about people paying money to an organization that served on some foundational level as a Clinton's personal piggy bank. And then in turn, great things would happen to them because they had the ear of the State Department, which decides a lot of stuff and more than just meddling in diplomacy. So this is so scandalous. And that Newsweek, like I read to you, has actually five easy steps of how we're going to get President Trump to become President Hillary by getting Trump out because he's colluded with Russia. And the solution of the left is to put Hillary in, who literally was bought and paid for by Putin's puppets to the tune of almost, you know, millions of dollars, $145 million. And then some. This is just one transaction. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And the woman has no gall. And I, you know, we can disagree. We can have a friendly disagreement about the future of this country and about Trump and about where, you know, where we need to be as a, you know, where we need to be as a people. But, you know, to think like this Newsweek piece, to think that somehow Hillary is the answer and that she is the, you know, I'm with her. You can't possibly still be with her. I if you are, you're just nuts. I don't know what else to say. Okay. You might not go to jail for a $145 million bribe from Russia, but you will go to jail if you steal $1,200,000 in fajitas. And that's a real thing. I'll tell you about that after the news with John Wolfe. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Hillary can get away with taking a $145 million bribe, but do not for a minute think you can get away with stealing $1.2 million worth of fajitas. This is real. There is a Gilberto Escamilla who allegedly pulled off this epic heist. No, it took him 9 years. I mean, what did you think? There was $1 million in fajitas just laying around somewhere? No, Mike. What kind of fajitas would those have to have been? Pretty freaking delicious, if you ask me. No, he's working for the Juvenile Justice Department in Cameron County, Texas. So he's a county employee. And, you know, the funny thing is, they just thought it was a mistake because of the staggering sum. They just thought that there's no way. Now, here's the exact amount in case you are particular about facts, and we here on the program are very particular. $1,251,578 worth of fajitas over 9 years. And then he would resell them to people. So I don't know what the black market is in fajitas, but apparently it's pretty good. Yeah, he's going to go to jail. It doesn't matter. That's a lot of money. And it's first degree theft, serious jail time. And in Texas, you know, they might actually fry him. And I'm not talking about the fajitas. I mean, you know, they're very serious about this in Texas. Do not ever go to Texas to commit any type of crime. You're going to say, if Hillary Clinton had done any of these shenanigans in Texas, things might have gone very differently. You see, I think the thing that frustrates me is don't you get the feeling that there's two sets of rules? I mean, it begs an important question. We're taught in school that Lady Justice is blind, right? You know, you got the figure of justice, right? And she's holding the scales. But why? She's blindfolded. Yeah, you know, I bet this generation of people think that's because she's, you know, read 50 Shades of Grey or something. I don't. It's because she's supposed to be blind. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, the color of your skin, what religion you have. And I know, look, this is, I'm sounding idealistic, and I'm not a simpleton. I get it. But one of the critical things that must separate our country from other countries that are serious kleptocracies and oligarchies is we have to hold our elected officials, our power brokers, and other potentates in our society to high standards. And it is interesting. You remember the amount of scandal and controversy that broke with the firing of James Comey by Donald Trump. But Comey, I mean, his level of complicity in covering up the scandals under Obama, this pay to play with the Clinton Foundation, it's epic. It's staggering. And to now have, and this is probably why Trump is fuming with Sessions and has been fuming at him for so long, is by allowing Sessions number two, Rod Rosenstein, when Sessions recused himself, Rod Rosenstein's the one who opened the door to the general counsel, excuse me, to the special counsel, and allowed Mueller to come back out of retirement. Mueller's knee deep in this too. What kind of motive, pray tell me. You think Mueller wants to peel back any layers here that would lead back to his bad deeds in office? No chance. No chance he wants to do it. Okay, there's a big poll out. Fox News reporting that Roy Moore and Doug Jones, Democrat and Republican in Alabama, are neck and neck. They're tied. And it's shaking the political order because, man, the Republican's supposed to win, and maybe the strategy that Bannon is out there pushing by pushing his candidates, his more conservative candidates, is backfiring. No, I'll tell you what I think. Don't go anywhere. After the break, I'm going to dissect this for you and give you the straight scoop. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here, speaking out on behalf of my friend, Attorney Sweet James Bergener. Look, if you get into a car accident or hurt in any way and need an advocate, call Sweet James. And if you think you don't need an advocate and that you can do it on your own, you're wrong. Don't do that. Call Sweet James. Give him a shout. He's easy to talk to. Explain to him what's going on. He will listen. He's a great listener. And he'll take care of you and make sure that you get set in the right direction. So, no recovery, no fee. You don't owe him anything if he doesn't obtain a settlement. Also, all consultations are free. So, there's no outlay. There's no expense. It won't cost you anything. So, what's there to lose? Nothing. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Call Sweet James. And if you want to see what he looks like first, before you place that call, go check him out on his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we are back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Roy Moore is the controversial Republican running for Senate in Alabama. He's running against Doug Jones, who's a Democrat. We know nothing about Jones. Jones is vanilla. He is not being described in any way that matters by anyone in the national media because no one cares about Doug Jones. Everybody cares about Roy Moore. Why? Because Roy Moore is the guy that beat Luther Strange, who's actually the senator. So when Jeff Sessions vacated his seat to become attorney general, the governor appointed Luther Strange to fill that spot. Now, you know how these things generally work. When you get appointed to a position like that, to a vacated position, what you're basically getting is a wink, wink, that now you get to run for re-election as an incumbent. And you know this. You know what I'm talking about. You don't. Oh, maybe you don't. But a lot of people do. When they vote for the incumbent. It's just people think, well, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to put somebody new in. So you get a tremendous advantage running as an incumbent, generally speaking. Okay? Well, Roy Moore, who was the this guy's rock and roll, man. You know, Roy Moore is out there, you know, defending the Ten Commandments, and he's a religious guy. He does some preaching in his church. So all these videos that everybody's playing of him saying crazy things, you know, quote unquote crazy things, it's all from him delivering sermons at church. He's at church. You should have heard the crazy things that Obama's pastor was saying. Boy, but we didn't let that factor into the election back in 08, did we? Okay. So Roy Moore, he's running. And now the big deal is that Fox News had a poll that came out. And they're neck and neck, 42% to 42%, dead heat. And all the pundits, all the talking heads right now are having a field day with this because they're saying, see, if the Republican Party tacks right, if they tack toward these pro-Trump candidates, what's going to happen? They're going to end up losing even in safe states like Alabama. Aha! Look at this. Bannon is the Democrats' best friend by pushing candidates like Roy Moore. Can I tell you what the real scoop here is? I mean, take the whole idea of polls out of this because I don't believe the poll to begin with. And I studied the poll, and they're not sampling actual likely voters. They're sampling people who are interested in the election. I don't even know what the hell that means. People that are, like, interested in the election? Like, yeah, man, I'm interested in the election. Okay, yep, gold star for you. When's the last time you voted? Oh, you never? Okay, all right, step aside. So that's the poll itself is flawed. So it's part of that. Well, and the Trump factor, do you know how much Trump won the state by last year? Last election, Trump won the state by 28 points. That is sort of the equivalent of an elephant sitting down on a mouse. OK, it's a crushing defeat. No, I have to get to this after the break. When I come back, I'm going to explain to you what's going to happen here. I will literally pull out a crystal ball and I will move my Sam Nation fingers over it and tell you what's going to happen here and why. Most important is the why. Okay, don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So this polling out of Alabama, the Alabama Senate race, everyone is watching this race very closely. It matters because it is a litmus test on to determine which of two competing philosophies is true. On one hand, you have the traditional thinking of the political establishment is you've got to run establishment, tried and tested candidates. Who cares if they're wishy-washy or whatnot? You can't have conservatives actually saying the kind of things that Trump is saying because they're never going to get elected. And on the other hand, you've got, no, you can't run the same candidates who are obstructing Trump's agenda because Trump's agenda is what got him elected. And it will eventually lead to races being lost. And most importantly, the agenda being lost that people wanted. So, two competing sides. Now this polling data that shows that these two races are neck and neck. These two candidates, excuse me. You know what the big difference between Roy Moore and Doug Jones really is here? The big difference is that there was a bruising primary fight on the Republican side. And you know this. You know this in races, maybe national races or races that you follow where one side kind of has a weaker primary. I think we saw that a little bit in this last election. I mean, the Republican primary took a lot longer, so Trump got a lot more collateral damage from other Republicans going into the general election. So one of the most, you know, one of the important things here to recognize is that if this poll were 100% accurate, you have a candidate that was coming out of a tough primary wounded. But time heals that. We're in October. The election's in November. Trust me, weeks go by and it'll sort itself out. And the other thing is, Roy Moore's opponent was the one that was supported by Trump. And Trump won the state by 28%. But listen, Trump's going to support Roy Moore, and he already has. So this thing will sort itself out. Trump won the state 28 points. This race is going to go to Roy Moore, barring some incredible event that I don't necessarily see happening. So there it is. I have a question for you. What do you think about grades? Well, I mean, you know what I think. I think, you know, performance measured is performance improved, right? I mean, that's the maxim. But there really is a trend right now. There's a trend in higher education to get away from grading. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday together, about this desperate fear that we have of our young youths and young adults being somehow challenged or being shaken or stirred and their feelings protected, that any measurement of performance is a threat to their emotional well-being. I know you know what I think about this, but I want to talk about this a little bit when we come back, because there's some interesting developments here. And I really do worry. So another hour of Sam Nation coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Got John Wolfe up next with the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.